I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, if you would please, in chapter number 3. Hebrews and chapter number 3 this morning. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7 of Hebrews and chapter number 3. I believe Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. I wouldn't be dogmatic about that, but I believe personally he is. And he begins writing in verse number 7 where he says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading. Let's pray together, and I'll try to bring what God's laid on my heart today. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the good, marvelous grace of God, whose omnipotent hand of mercy has reached down and pulled us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a solid rock, established our goings, and put a song of praise in our mouth. We thank You this morning, Lord, for the privilege it's ours to be in the house of God. Thank You for a Bible that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, this morning for the presence of the Spirit of God in each of our lives. Thank You for our visitors. Thank You, Lord, for Your help in the Sunday school hour. I pray now, Lord, that You'd help us to lay aside every thought that does not concern Thee, and help us focus our hearts and minds upon Christ this morning. I pray for power to preach the Word of God, and I do ask You, Lord, to take the hearts of Your people and help them this morning to understand Thy Word, to open up their understanding, that they might receive Thy Word with all readiness of mind. I pray for sinners to be saved, and Lord, for revival in the house of God. Again, I ask You for liberty and power to preach, and we'll thank You, Lord, for what is accomplished, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen, and thank you now, and you may be seated. Now, I want to try to preach this morning on this thought. I was reading through this portion of Scripture just the other morning in my daily devotions, and it seemed like the Lord spoke to me out of these verses concerning that word rest. You know, the Bible speaks about the Lord when He created the heavens and earth, and the Bible said that on the seventh day that He rested from all of His works. And I got to thinking about the rest for the child of God. And so I want to preach a little while this morning, if God would help me, on resting or restless. Are we resting or are we restless? There's a big difference in being and resting or else being restless. Now we find in this portion of Hebrews the account of Israel's wandering in the wilderness and their failure to enter into Canaan. God had gloriously delivered them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. had brought them across the Red Sea and brought them into the wilderness, gave them the opportunity to enter into Canaan land, which is a type of the Spirit-filled life, a type of service rest in the Lord. And yet they failed to enter into that rest. And the Bible said the reason they failed was because of unbelief. They entered not in because of unbelief. Now, I want to say this morning, that's the only thing that will keep you out of Canaan. That's the only thing that will keep you from living a Spirit-filled life, is living in a life of unbelief and distrust in the power and the Word of Almighty God. God had promised them that land, and yet they failed to lay hold of that promise. We need to be careful concerning the promises of God in the Bible. Let's not fail. The Bible said they failed at this. Let's not fail at the promises of God. Now, I'm not one of these, charismatics, that believe in this thing of just naming it and claiming it. But I do believe that the promises of God are just as real for you and I in this generation as they've ever been before. And like I said, I don't believe in naming it and claiming it, but we can live by them. And when God speaks to our heart about those promises, we can thank Him and praise Him for them and trust God to bring those promises to pass in our life. The problem with Israel is they had a heart of unbelief. God had promised them that land, and yet they failed to believe that God would bring them into that land. They heard of the giants, and they feared to go into that land. After God had told them it was theirs, they failed to seize that promise and enter into that land, and mainly because of fear in their heart. I want to say to you this morning, we better be careful in fearing the opposition that is against us. If God be for us, ladies and gentlemen, pray tell me who can be against us. If God is on our side, who can be against us? I'll tell you, He is not just mighty. God is almighty, and He has the power and the ability to handle all your problems and to take care of all the enemies and opposition that you may ever face in your Christian life. God is able to take care of them by His omnipotent power. I'll assure you of that. Amen. Now, this failure came about, as I said, by lack of faith, by an unbelieving heart, by disobedience toward God and His Word. We ought to always obey the Word of God. But this failure, and they did fail at this point. And this failure came about because of those things. A lack of faith in God and failure to believe God for His promise and disobedience toward the Word of God. Boy, I'll tell you, we live in a generation that I'm afraid that knows nothing about obeying the Word of God. I won't say that is the test that puts the rubber on the road whether we're a child of God or not. It's not whether we tithe. It's like Brother Steve said, it's not how loud that we pray. It's not even due to the fact that we come to the house of God on a regular basis. But the real rubber meets the road in our obedience toward God. The Bible said that obedience is better than sacrifice. And truly it is. The rubber meets the road on our salvation whether we obey what this Bible says or whether we disobey what the Word of God says. And they failed to obey the Word of God. Now, listen carefully. This unbelief brought great grief to the heart of Almighty God. He said in verse 10, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation." God said He was grieved in His heart at that generation because of their disobedience. And their unbelief brought great grief to the heart of God, and it brought many afflictions upon the people. And the glorious blessing that the Lord had prepared for them was simply forfeited. That is, they gave it away of their own volition. They weren't held back by God, but of their own will, they failed to go into Canaan and into the land of rest that God had promised them. And Paul warns us, and we ought to take heed to that warning. Paul warns us and said, you ought to take heed lest any of you fail in this area of entering into the grace of God. And it tells me that it can be a failure to us. And so Paul warns us that we better be careful and not fail at this particular point in our life. There is a salvation rest whereby we rest in God when we're saved. And there's a service rest where we rest in God in our service toward Him. And there is a seventh day rest where we rest in eternity from all of our labors. And just like God ceased from His labors, there's coming a day when we'll lay down our labors as well and cease from all them. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, we better keep on serving God and walking in His ways and laboring for the glory of God. Now, I'm sure we're all aware of the fact that the body has got to have rest. The body's got to have rest. Just as the body must have rest, so does the soul. And all of us, I'm sure at one time or another, have spent restless nights. Have you not laid down in the bed at night before and thoughts begin to run through your mind and those thoughts deprive you of your nightly rest? And you lay in that bed and you let these thoughts run through your mind and you get restless and you'll turn over this way and you'll roll over this way and then maybe you might get up for a while. You might go back to bed and there's absolutely no rest. And the next day you say, boy, I spent a restless night last night. There's many of us that have went to bed at night with sickness or pain in our body. And that pain deprived us of the rest that our body needed. And we got up the next morning complaining about how bad we felt because we spent another restless night because of pain in our body or sickness in our body. I'm here to tell you, Jacob was just telling me a while ago that he's had the flu. And the other night coming in, he had to have the heater turned on in his truck because he had the chills. And he went to bed that night and spent a very restless night in that truck trying to get a good night's sleep. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying the body can spend restless days and restless nights from sickness or afflictions or pain or trials or thoughts in our mind. And so can the soul of man be restless within itself. The soul of man must find rest within itself or it's going to miss the blessings of Almighty God that He has stored for them in their life. Now, let's listen very carefully at what Brother Hall is getting ready to say. Likewise, our soul must have rest also. If not, it lives in a restless state. Always troubled, never calm, and never tranquil. Have you ever seen anybody that's always in a fizz? Always in an uproar? Always in a downpour? It seems like they can't rest. They can't find any rest at all. Well, a lot of times, the soul of man that's never found rest in God is in the same situation. They're like the raging sea. They're like the roaring sea. The sea cannot be still. Miss Hall and I have visited the ocean a number of times. Now, I've been at the ocean in a number of different places in our country and around the world. Now, I'm telling you, I've never been to an ocean where the waves are not constantly rolling in. They're always rolling in. They're never calm. I'll tell you, they're always moving and rolling in. And they're doing that because they're restless. They're never calm. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 20. He said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And how true that is. That sea just keeps rolling up the mire. It's restless. Those waves keep rolling in the mire. And so it is with a restless soul. It's constantly in turmoil. It's restless. It's never tranquil. It keeps on just being in a state of turmoil all their life. That's what Israel failed here. They missed this rest that God intended for them to have in their life. Now I'm telling you, there's a lot of Baptists today that are living in the same way that they were. They've missed that rest that God wants them to have. Oh, you might have salvation rest. You might be saved and resting in the arms of God and have salvation rest. But I wonder how many of us really have this service rest that Paul is referring to here in the book of Hebrews. What I'm saying, I wonder how many today have really entered into that Spirit-filled life. Come on now. Come on, you've entered into that Spirit-filled life. And you're at rest in your service toward Almighty God. Well, I'll tell you, the Bible says that we are to God's people who are called to be able to learn from the mistakes that those that preceded them. So Israel, the Bible said, everything that happened to them happened for our example. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons today why people cannot find rest in the Lord. Now, I'm going to take them right out of this chapter. Why people cannot rest in the Lord. Why their soul is always in a turmoil. Notice, first of all, that God gives them great counsel. And they fail to listen to the counsels of Almighty God. Listen to what He said in verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Apparently, when Israel heard the voice of God, rather than obeying that voice, they hardened their heart toward God. Now, I'm telling you, there's people today in the same shape. They hear the Word of God, and rather than being obedient to that Word, immediately obedient to that Word, they harden their heart against what the Lord has to say. And God counsels them here to hear His voice. Boy, it's a wonderful thing to hear the voice of God. He said in John that my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I want to ask you something today. Have you ever heard the voice of Almighty God? I'm not talking about an outward voice. I'm talking about God speaking to your heart. Have you ever heard that voice of Almighty God? I'm going to tell you, there were some in the Bible that when they heard the voice of God, they responded to that voice immediately. They did not procrastinate. They did not wait, but they immediately responded to what God had said unto them. I think of little old Samuel. Samuel was taken by his mother Hannah and was loaned unto the Lord. And when he got a little few years on him, he was laying in bed one night and he heard a voice say, Samuel. And he said, here am I. Old Samuel got up and run into Eli and said, so much. He said, what is it? Now, well, you called me. And Eli said, I called you not. Go back to bed. And so a little bit later, another voice came and said, Samuel. And he said, here am I. He got up again, went into Eli's room and said, you spoke to me. And Eli said, I said nothing to you. I believe it was the third time that Eli realized that God was speaking to that young boy. And he told him, said, when you hear that voice again, you just tell him, Lord, thy servant heareth speak. And the Bible said there in 1 Samuel 3:10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times and said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered and said, speak. For thy servant heareth. Boy, I wonder today if we're that prompt to hear the Word of God when He speaks to us. Just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I wonder how many times it takes us going over the same things in the Word of God to really get a hold of them and realize that when we read this Bible, or this Bible is preached to us, that God is speaking to us out of His Word. How many of us say, Lord, Thy servant heareth, speak? And how many of us obey that Word that is spoken to us out of this Bible?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm trying to, Brother Andy, but it ain't going far. What about Brother Paul in Acts chapter number 6? When God came to Paul and he saw that light shining like the noonday sun. And he fell down trembling and astonished. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, Who is it, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then in verse number 6, Paul answered him. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Immediately he heard the voice of the Lord. Now the Bible said when you hear the voice of the Lord, you better not harden your heart as they did in the day of provocation. Church, may I say that we're missing great blessings of God, and we're missing the great power of God and the great joy of the Lord, because I'm afraid when God speaks to us, rather than being obedient to what God says, we harden our heart toward the Word of God. Somebody said, I don't harden mine. I'm going to tell you a little store secret. Every time you fail to yield to what God says, your heart grows harder. You don't have to harden it. It'll see to it that it hardens on its own and let you yield to what God has said to you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, some of you in here is in trouble with God. I'm going to tell you why you are. Because in the invitations, God has spoken to your heart. And you've hardened your heart against what God has spoken and told you to do. And you keep on hardening that heart. And I'll tell you, one of these days you'll find yourself like Israel, turned around. God rejected them. God was grieved with them. God turned them around and sent them into the wilderness to wander 40 years in the wilderness. Amen now. Come on now. I think about Ananias in Paul's life there in Acts chapter number 10. And Ananias, God spoke to Ananias, said, Ananias, and he said, Lord, here am I. He said, there's a man by the name of Paul, Saul, and said, he's up at a house that I want you to go and anoint him, lay your hands on him, that he may be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said that he's going to be a great witness for me to kings and to all people. And at first, Ananias said, Lord, I've heard that this man has put in prison all those that call upon thy name. And nevertheless, Ananias made this statement. The Lord said, behold, I hear, Lord. And he left and went and laid hands on Paul that he might receive His side. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. When we hear the voice of the Lord, Israel heard and they hardened their heart and they failed to enter into the rest of God. Now, I can't get that across this morning. I'm struggling to get it across. That there's some of you in here that are just not at rest in God. That is, there's still a lack of distrust in what God has told you. You don't understand quite the Word of God and how He's put it to you that you can just lean on Him and trust Him for everything in your life. Some of you are troubled. Some of you are worried. Some of you are very weary and worn in your life. Some of you are tired in the way that you're traveling. Now I'm here to tell you, if you listen to the voice of God, God will give you rest in Him in this way that we're traveling. Amen. That's right. Boy, you can get weary in the way, too.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy journey that we're traveling.
Right.
But there's a lot of enemies out there today. We've got a lot of foes today. There's a lot of heartaches and a lot of trouble today. There's a lot of problems today. Amen. We've got problems all around us in our country. And turmoil. And there's turmoil in the churches. Come on now. And I'm telling you, if we'll listen, if we'll hearken to what God has to say for us, we can find rest in any situation that we find ourselves in this life that we're living in this world today. Amen. And so he counseled them to hear his voice. Now, hold on here. He counseled them, secondly, to hold the beginning of their confidence steadfast. Notice what he says in verse number 14. I'm sorry, not verse number 14. I guess it is 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So he counsels them to hold the beginning of that confidence steadfast. There's four words there that mean something. Hold, beginning, confidence, and steadfast. And hey, he's telling them to keep in memory the commencement of our godly assurance stable within our lives. In other words, don't let anything detour you. I don't want to sow any distrust in you today for the Lord. But how many of you in here have been saved by the grace of God, and somewhere down the line, you begin to doubt the fact that you were really born again? Come on now. And that thought's entered your mind. Well, did I really repent? I've had people come and ask me, Brother Hall, I don't know if I really repented. Did I really believe? Did I really get saved? And that begins to trouble people's mind. And when that begins to trouble your mind, I'm telling you, the rest and the peace of heart and peace of mind that you had in Christ will flee you, and you'll become restless in your life. Are you resting in that, in the profession you made in Christ? Or are you restless in the profession you made in Christ? Paul said to hold that confidence steadfast unto the end. In other words, don't let anything move you from that day that you got on your knees and asked God to save you by His marvelous grace. I'm telling you, the devil will try to run you as far as he can. Amen. But don't let him run you any farther than back to that day when you said yes to God and God saved you by His marvelous grace. Amen. That's right now. Boy, I'll tell you, he's a pro at that too. He's a pro at that, of causing people to disbelieve what God has done for them. Are you listening to me? Don't let him run you any further back than that morning, or that night, or that Sunday, or that Wednesday, or wherever it might have been. I've heard people say, I don't know if I got saved because I wasn't in the church. What's that got to do with it? Amen. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Don't necessarily have to be in the church house. Paul was on the road to Damascus. Amen. Zacchaeus was in a sycamore tree. Amen. That's right. Bartimaeus was sitting along the roadside begging. Amen. There was one man saved in a graveyard. You can't go on that. A lot of people want to go on somebody else's experience. Don't you worry about somebody else's experience. You just simply believe what God said to you. Amen. That's the point I'm making. Hey, when the voice of God has spoken to you, don't let the devil drive you away from what God has said in your heart, especially about being saved by His marvelous grace. Amen. Buddy, he'll sure try too. Amen. He'll do all that he can. He'll do all that he can. You know, if we can't get settled in our salvation, I'm talking about service rest. If we can't get settled in our salvation, we're not going to be of much use to God in our service. What can you tell somebody else about Christ if you doubt in your mind that you really got Him? Or doubt in your heart that you've really been saved? You ain't going to be much use to God. I'm talking about coming to a place in your life where you're at peace in your heart. You're resting in God. There's no turmoil. There's no restlessness. You're completely satisfied. And you're able by that to help those that are in need on the outside, as well as your brothers that are on the inside. Come on now. Amen. You're not going to be any good to God till you nail it down that you've been saved by His marvelous grace.
Amen.
And not let the devil run you. Hey, I'm going to tell you, he's tried to run me before. But he can't run me any further back than September the 13th, 1970. Now, he can chase me back that far, but he ain't chasing me any farther. When I get to there, you know, I can look him in the face and say, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And he can't take me back any further than that, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said, what about that rough life you live? He can't get me back any further than September the 13th. That's as far as he can chase me. What about all those years you lived in riotous living? He can't run me back there.
Amen.
Do you think he could run that prodigal back to the hog pen? Not on your life. Brother, I'm going to tell you, once he got out of that hog pen into the Father's house, there was no way the devil could ever run him back to that hog pen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why. He had seen both sides of the river, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Woo! Boy, God, hey, he had seen both sides of the river. Let me ask you something today. Have you seen both sides of the river? You know what it's like living on this side and what it's going to be like living on the other side. That's where Israel missed it. They lived on this side of the river, but they never seen that life of rest living on the other side of the river in Canaan that God had promised for them. Amen. Brother, I've done peeped over and got a glimpse of what's waiting on the other side. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. And I've got that confidence and steadfast. In other words, hey, the Bible said that we're to be steadfast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:13 said, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in it. Be unmovable in your faith. Don't let nobody shake you about your faith. Oh, there's so many things that faith's the substance, things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. It was by faith that Abel offered the right sacrifice. It was by faith that Enoch walked with God and was not. It was by faith, ladies and gentlemen, that Noah built, was warned of God and built the ark, prepared that ark to the saving of his household. It was by faith that Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. Come on now. Left Ur of the Chaldees and went out looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, he found that city. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Faith. Stand fast in your faith.
Amen.
If God's called you and given you faith, and by the way, gift, faith is the gift of God.
Amen.
God's given you faith. Stand fast in that faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. So we're to stand fast in that faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to say secondly, Philippians 1:27 says that you're to stand fast in one spirit. God doesn't want our church divided and split. God wants the church in one spirit. And we're to stand fast in that one spirit in the Lord. And he said in 1 Thessalonians 3:8, he said, now if we live, if we stand fast in the Lord. And so what he's telling us is hold that confidence. Stand fast. As Paul said, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you something. Have you hearkened to the Word of God? Or have you hardened your heart? Have you listened to God's counsels? Or have you hardened your heart? Now, I'm not done, so you might as well just hang right in there. Then he said in verse number 12, look at verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
Amen.
He gives a little warning there that we're to take heed to our own heart. Take heed to our own heart. He says, the heart is evil, or sin. There's evil, the heart is evil, or the sin of the heart. it's evil and it can be sinful. And I wrote down in my notes, I said, sin appears fair, but it's filthy. Come on in the house and listen to me. Devil try to make you think that sin is fair. That it ought to be fair for a man to commit adultery. If he wants more than one wife, it ought to be fair if a man wants to drink a little bit. It ought to be fair for us to dance a little bit. It ought to be fair for us to visit Hollywood every now and then. Come on now. Sin is fair, but I'm telling you, the bottom line of it is, it's filthy. We don't view sin like we ought to view sin today. We treat it like a cream puff, and I'm telling you, the wages of sin, ladies and gentlemen, is still death. Come on in the house. Paul warned them. He says he warned them, take heed to your own heart. Take heed to your own heart, for sin will appear to be fair to you, but it's really filthy. He said it'll appear to be pleasant. And there are pleasures in sin for a season. But it'll appear to be pleasant when really it is pernicious. Somebody said, what do you mean pernicious? It'll bring you to spiritual ruin or loss or damnation. I've told you this story before. Some of you have never heard it. But I'll never forget when I came home from Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Christmas of 1964. My mom and daddy lived a half a mile from the railroad track on Hall's Corner Road in Underwood, Indiana. It was about another 3/4 of a mile down to the other railroad crossing on the little south end part of the town. And we're sitting there at the table. All of a sudden, there's the loudest sound that I ever heard. I mean, boom. And my daddy immediately said, somebody just got hit by a train on the railroad track. Boy, we jumped in our cars and headed down there, and there was nobody there. We swung around down what we call the old factory, around by the factory pond. There was all kind of red lights and things over there on Highway 31. Of course, we eased over there, and everybody wanted to know. We saw that it was an automobile accident. Three men that I knew, thought they was going to have some pleasures. They went to town, got them a few nips, a few brews, and headed back from town, and one of them that was driving said, let's just run over a mailbox and have a little fun. So they hit a mailbox, and the people seen them, they called the law. And the law went into hot pursuit. The fools tried to outrun the law. Now I'm going to tell you, you'll never make it. I don't know very many that's ever outrun the law. They come down through Underwood and came to that corner in Highway 31 on the south end of that town, and they was running so fast, they fell off the shoulder and lost that automobile. It flipped up on its side and went top-sided right into a big tree that stood there right alongside the road. We got there just in time to watch them take all three of them boys. Donald Kirkpatrick was one of them. One of them was a Smallwood boy. I knew every one of them. And we stood there and watched them take all three of them boys out of that automobile in plastic bags. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, hey, that sin looked like it was pleasant, but really, gentlemen, it wasn't pleasant. It was pernicious. It was a total loss. It damned their soul to an eternal lake of fire in hell without God and without hope. Now, somebody said, well, I don't drink. Well, some of these young kids aren't grown up yet. Now, I'm telling you, you don't know what these young kids are going to do when they grow up. Now, I'm telling you, sin to them will look like a pleasant thing, but in the end, it'll bring damnation to your soul. Amen. And you'll spend eternity in hell. And my advice to you is the same advice that they give in Hebrews. You hear God's voice. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. And you think that it's a coincidence that God put that same statement twice in that passage of Scripture. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation in the wilderness. And I'm going to tell you, simple hardening of our heart has robbed us of many, many blessings from God in this life. Missing God's will for little things. We're so busy always looking for God's will in big things. We'll miss God's will in little things. Now I want to say most of the time it's the little things that bring joy to our hearts. When the kids come home, we don't think much about that. We kind of take it for granted. But it's them little things like that. Seeing them little ones crawl around your feet in the house and look up at you with slobbers running out of their mouth and smile at you. Amen. I took my bottom partial out. And three Vinny's kids all sitting at the table. I'm not going to take them out for you. They was all sitting at the table eating yesterday, and their mom and daddy was gone. And of course, Kaylin's lost those teeth in the front. Now I said, look here, KK. I said, Poppy looks just... I pulled them teeth out, and she said, look, Poppy looks just like me. Look at Poppy. And I said, there's one problem. Yours will grow back. Poppy's will never grow back. And so the little one, little Kara, she said, I want them. I said, do you want them in your mouth? Yeah. And I put them down, aren't you? Her little mouth wasn't big enough to get them in there. But she wanted them in her mouth. I'm talking about the little things, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, when you hear the voice of God in some little things, we're always looking for the big things of life, but I'm telling you, it's always the little things in life that bring us the most joy that we can possibly have.
Amen.
Amen. We want the money and we want the big things, but it's a little thing that will help us and bless us in life. And it's those things that we're hardening our heart toward God against, and we're missing the boat in doing that. Those little things, buddy. Those little things in life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know that's right. That sin will, Satan will make it look pleasant, but it's really pernicious. And he'll make it look, can't see without my glasses. Satan will make that sin. He'll make it, sin promises much, but it performs nothing. You better get a hold of that. Sin will promise you everything under the sun to lead you away from God. It'll promise you, hey, somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe this. Well, let me take you back to chapter number 4 in the book of Matthew. Brother Steve just preached through there. And did not Satan say to the Lord once, he led him up on a high mountain and showed him all the nations of the world. And he said, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. He promised him everything. But I'm going to tell you, he didn't have the power to give him anything. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, sin and Satan will promise you everything, but he doesn't have the power to perform and give you anything in life. But it's God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Boy, we better take heed when we hear the voice of God. Are you listening to me? Harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation in the wilderness, when they tempted me and provoked me. 40 years, they said, I was grieved with that crowd. I'd hate to think that I lived for 40 years and grieved God. And can I show you this? This is not in my notes, but I want to show you this. Once they made their decision, it was 40 years, there was no turning back for them. There was no getting right for them. There are some decisions we make, ladies and gentlemen, when we hear God and refuse to obey, and God brings His judgment hand down, there is no turning back from. They couldn't find relief if they wanted it. God said, I've made a judgment. All of you 20 years and older, your carcasses will fall in the wilderness. Now I'm going to tell you what He called that crowd. He called them unbelievers. He said, you entered in because of unbelief.
Amen.
And I know a lot of preachers say, well, you don't go to hell because of unbelief. You go to hell because of this sin and that sin. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll say this again after a while, but an unbelieving heart is right at the very pit of every other sin that a man commits.
Amen.
distrust in God and distrust in God's Word is at the very root, ladies and gentlemen, of every sin man commits. You better say amen right there. No, that's a fact. Hallelujah. Amen. We better heed God's warnings. Take heed to our own heart. There's evil or sin of the heart. And then he shows us the excellency of his holiness. And then the example that he provides for us is Israel in the wilderness. Their warning, their sin should be a warning to us. Hey, God says that himself, that the sins of his people in the Old Testament should be a warning to the people of today. But I'm telling you, not many people today heeding what went on in the Old Testament. They're going, America is going right on down the tube just like Israel did. We're following Israel in their paganistic ways. Hey, would you believe that I heard on one of the news stations the other day in my truck that America is killing 750,000 babies a year? You think God's not going to judge that, folks? And they're ranting and raving about cigarettes. When are they going to start ranting and raving about liquor?
Amen.
When are they going to start ranting and raving about prostitution? When are they going to start ranting and raving about corrupt politicians? I ain't preaching politics today. No, I'm trying to preach Jesus. But I'm going to tell you that politics are going to get corrupt because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming someday.
Amen.
And he's going to govern the land, hallelujah, with a rod of iron. You better believe he is.
Amen.
There will be no corruption in his political party. Amen.
Amen.
There will be no corruption in his political party. I heard last night one of them resigned, the Green Thumber, the environmentalist, whoever he was, the communist. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Some of you did. There's a fellow in his cabinet that 4 years ago said he was a communist. God help us!
Amen.
I'm going to tell you where the problem is. Somebody said it's the people out there. No, it is a bunch of wimp, noodle-back Baptist preachers and people that will not stand up for old-time religion. We failed to hear and heed the Word of God, and we're going on in our way rather than in God's way. Amen. That's right. Now, sin long continued will kindle divine wrath. It did on Israel. They provoked God, and it kindled a divine wrath in the heart of Almighty God that nothing could quench. God said, I'm going to pour my wrath out on this generation. And he did that. And I'm just here to tell you, hey, that God is merciful and long-suffering. There comes a time, and there comes a time when God says that's enough. But when his wrath is kindled but a little, I certainly would hate to fall into the hands of a living God, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Oh, yes. And their punishment also should be remembered by us. Their punishment. God kindled that divine wrath against them. And then he discovered itself in its righteous resolution. What was the resolution? 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And also in that punishment, we find that God will destroy the impenitent. See what he's saying, preacher? Well, we've been slow today, but if y'all was listening, he'll destroy the impenitent. That person that refuses to repent of their sin, God will destroy them. And I'm telling you, the Christian life is a life of repentance. It's not a one-time deal. We continue to repent all the days of our life. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, we ought to heed that warning. But people like they're blind, continue to wander away from God and away from God's voice. People come to church Sunday after Sunday, sit on a pew week after week, and hear the voice of God and go on back home just like they come.
Amen.
There's never any change. You can get away with that for a while, but I'm telling you, eventually God's going to show up on the scene.
Amen.
Like Billy Kelly said, when He sets your fields on fire, friend, He'll burn them to the ground. I've heard Harold Sattler say before, when God sets your stump on fire, He'll burn it to the roots is gone.
Amen.
He'll leave nothing there. Hey, we ought to learn that lesson from Israel. Can you imagine that many million people died in the course of 40 years? Can you imagine what their children saw and how their children felt when they saw their own parents' carcasses die? He called them their carcass. Their carcass. You know why He said that? They were spiritually dead. And He called them that carcass that died in the wilderness. Spiritually different. Can you imagine what their kids said? I wonder what your kids will say about you someday if they've got you pegged as being a hearer but not a doer of the Word of God. Watching your restless life rather than resting in Christ. You're totally restless and in turmoil. Your soul's in a chaos. You're tumbled here and there and about. Every slide of man and every wind of doctrine. You're just constantly in a turmoil. Find no rest in your life. What's them kids going to say? They're going to say, my mommy served God well. My daddy served God well. Or my mom and daddy wouldn't pay any attention to the Word of God. Can I say this to you? There have been a lot of people whose lives have been shortened because they did not heed the Word of God. Now, I know that's hard for us to get a hold of. Well, we've been taught today that God's a God of love and God will never. But I'm here to tell you, God laid this on my heart the other morning. And I really believe I'm in the will of God. It's been hard for me to preach it this morning, but I'm telling you, I believe I've been in the perfect will of God in it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I wonder how many people have been warned. And they, like Israel, continue to wander. They continue to stiffen their neck and harden their heart and continue to go on. Somebody said, well, I'm saved. Well, there's other places and other things to do for God. There's growth. There's obedience to the Word of God in other areas besides just salvation, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing in your prayer life? How you doing in your Bible reading? How you doing in private worship? How you doing in witnessing? How you doing, ladies, in being obedient to your husbands? How you husbands being doing good in loving your wives as Christ loved the church?
Amen.
There's a whole lot more than just obeying the voice of salvation. God keeps on speaking. Keeps on speaking. I'm going to tell you what does me as much good as anything. From time to time, I just open my Bible. And I go back to those verses of Scripture where God's spoken to my heart out of. And helped me through troubles and problems. Spoken to my heart and told me how to handle things in my life. And I'm going to tell you, God has led me that way all this time in my Christian life. And I can honestly say He's never failed me one time. Miss Hall thought I was a fool when I told her in Greenville, when I told her in Indiana we're going to Kentucky. She thought I was a bigger fool when I got to Kentucky and told her we were going to South Carolina. She thought I was a bigger fool when I told her in South Carolina we were going to Arizona. And if you think that's something, she really thought I was a fool when I told her we was coming back to Kentucky. But I'm here because I listen to the voice of God. Now, I had everything to do with salvation, but had everything in the world to do with my service toward God. And I'm going to honestly say this. I've been here almost 22 years in the perfect will of God without a shadow of doubt in my mind. Without a shadow of a doubt. Oh, God has been good. And I've tried my best to open my heart and listen to that still small voice as God speaks to me.
Amen.
Honestly. Many counseled them not to harden their heart. The results of hardening your heart is unbelief in verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In departing from a sinful heart of unbelief is at the bottom of all our departures from God. And you know, I said all of our departures from God. How many of you in here, don't hold your hand up, have seen them depart? They went out from us because they were not of us. And they've departed and left God. And I'm telling you what's at the bottom root of it? A heart of unbelief. Sinners will make every excuse under the sun while they ought to leave a church or leave here or leave there. When all the time their problem is they're just living in unbelief. They're just lost on their way to hell. And if once we allow ourselves to distrust God, we may soon desert Him. You hear what I'm saying? If one time we distrust Him, it may not be long until we desert Him. You better get a hold of that if you don't get a hold of nothing else Brother Hall said today. Well, I don't believe God would let me do that. I don't believe I've got the faith to do that. You can do anything in your life God tells you to do. God never tell you to do anything that you can't do for Him in your life. But I'm telling you, just one time, I've said, Lord, I don't believe I can do that. It may lead to your departure from God. Somebody said, how do you get that? Israel came to Kadesh Barnea, and the Lord said, go in. They said, we can't! And one time of saying, not trusting God, caused them to depart from God. Just one time. See, we thank God just a big old cream puff old man sitting up there with a long white beard passing out candy like Santa Claus. But that ain't the way God works, folks. He is a just God. He is a just God that rewards for what we do, but He also punishes what we don't do. Are you listening to me? I heard a story from my oldest brother who used to work. No, it was his brother-in-law. Connie's brother-in-law, my sister-in-law's brother, drove a gasoline tanker for one of these gas companies years ago. And his wife witnessed to him and begged him to go to church with her, and he never would go. Begged him to get right, and he never would get right. Prayed for him and pleaded with him and pleaded with him. He just kept telling her no and no. Finally, one night he was driving down a highway sign. I think it was up in Ohio. And it was dark and late, and that was back when you could truck about as many hours as you wanted to if you missed a scale or two every now and then or missed the law. And he fell asleep at the wheel. And he ran off the road with that tanker. And it caught on fire, and he was pinned on the inside. And a state trooper got on the scene. That man sat in that car and begged that trooper, please shoot me. Please shoot me. And that cop said, man, I can't shoot you. He said, please shoot me. He couldn't get out, and he knew them flames was coming. He said, please kill me. Don't let that fire get me. And that officer had to stand there and watch that fire go. Man, I wonder what thoughts went through his mind. I wonder if he thought, oh, if I'd have just listened to the voice of God rather than if I'd have just hearkened to God instead of hardened toward God.
Amen.
I might have avoided this. And here I sat in this tanker, literally going to hell from a burning hell on earth.
Amen.
That's where he went. Because he wouldn't hearken to the voice of God. He wouldn't heed the word of God. Just one time. all it took. There was a young man come to Bible Baptist Church, and I know I've been here a long time. There was a young man went to Bible Baptist Church where I was called to preach at. Brother Nolan preached that boy that morning and stood at the back door, and Brother Nolan said, I knew him, and said, son, you know you need to be saved. He said, preacher, I promise you, I'll be here tonight and I'll get saved tonight. The service time rolled around, the boy didn't show up. Brother Nolan preached, and we all went home. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he got a call from that boy's parents. He got high on dope and drove down in a park in an automobile car lot where they sell automobiles. He pulled his vehicle in there, took a .357 Magnum pistol, and stuck it in his mouth and pulled the trigger. He went out to meet God, folks. You know what he done? He hardened his heart instead of heeding the Word of God. I can tell you a young man in Henryville, Indiana, I won't mention his name, but I'm confident he saw a drug deal from some of the prominent people in that little town. And he had been to church, and he told Brother Nolan, said, I'll get right one of these days, preacher. I'll get right one of these days. And he saw a drug deal go down. It was a bad deal. You know where they found that boy several days later? They found him up in the state forestry, Clark County State Forestry. He had been tied to the back of a vehicle and drugged through the woods by professional killers. And his body was left upside down with his head laying down so all the blood would run to his head. And they couldn't show him at the funeral because all that blood had run to his head. And he said, yes, preacher, I'll be there. I'll get right. He didn't heed that warning from God. He didn't heed the Word of God. Are you all listening this morning? I could go on and on. There's a boy named Carl Ray Shadburn. Carl Ray Shadburn. He was the same age as my oldest brother's boy. Carl Ray got mixed up with the wrong crowd and he came up missing. You know where they found him? 7 or 8 years later, they tore down a building that somebody over around Pekin, Indiana had erected. And they found him in the cement floor of that building. They found his remains in that concrete, in that building. 7 or 8 years later, after he'd come up missing. You know why? Dope. Carl Ray had sat in church time and time again and heard, but he didn't heed. He didn't listen. He didn't obey. Well, I said, you're just trying to scare us. No. No, you can't scare people into getting right with God. That's an impossibility. I'm going to say one more thing and I'm done. And I said, glad. But he also counsels them to help one another. Church, if you don't get nothing else, get this. Look in verse 13. He said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Now, that don't mean tomorrow.
Amen.
That means today. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So he called them to help one another. And he said, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, help one another to protect one another from sin. Do you believe we can do that? Don't you believe that we could, as a church, could exhort each other and comfort each other and help each other to protect one another from sin? I mean, we talk about things that are not right. Talk about things that are wrong and protect one another from falling into the pitfall of these things. Can I tell you this, and I don't want to be unkind. Honest before God, I don't want to be unkind, and I don't even know how to do it and have no desire to do it. But I'm telling you right now, all this Facebook, and chatting on the computers and all this stuff, if you're not careful, I'm telling you, and I've got a computer, but I'm telling you, if you're not careful with all this stuff, it can put you in touch with the wrong person.
That's right.
Amen.
And cause you more grief and more heartache than you ever dreamed that it would.
Amen.
I'd be careful with it. And just get on there and just whatever how you do to chat. I don't know how you do that. Just, but I'd certainly be careful with that. I'm telling you, there's men out there. There's old geezer men out there as old as I am that will tell young girls that they're 18, 20 years old. And when they meet that man, they find out he's about 60, 65 years old. He ain't no young man. Are you listening? It says to help one another and protect one another from sin, the deceitfulness of sin. One sin allowed prepares for another. Now get a hold of that. And we're just talking now. That's all we can do. Tried to preach and you couldn't get the job done. One sin allowed prepares for another. In other words, if we let one sin in our life, it just prepares the way for one more sin. If we give ground to the devil in one place or the flesh in one place, it just leads to something else. Every act of sin confirms the habit. In other words, we just keep sinning. Sinning, what that's telling us is that we've got a habit of sinning. We're living in habitual sin. And then sinning against the conscience is a way to sear the conscience. You keep sinning, your conscience says that's wrong, that's wrong. Sin against that conscience will soon sear that conscience. You know what Paul said about it? Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. You get to the point that nothing bothers you. Absolutely nothing at all. God help us. I've tried to do my best this morning. It's been a little difficult on me, and I'm sure it has you too. Let's stand together.